All right, very good. We will go ahead and call this meeting to order. And Chris, would you take the roll, please?
Councilmember Bruce.
Here.
Councilmember Biggs.
Here.
Councilmember Laraway.
Here.
Council President McPherson.
Here.
Mayor Steer.
And here. And if you'll join me for the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First item is the consent agenda. Any questions or comments or anything you want pulled for discussion?
Mayor, item 4C1 was my property annexation. Do I need to recuse from voting on that?
Yes, that would be fine.
Do we need to remove it or just?
No,
just you, say I'm
I'll just, we'll just
from
make
that,
a note of
okay.
that.
Everyone else good? Okay. I would move we approve the consent agenda as published and also note that I will be recusing from voting on item 4C-1.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that motion carries.
You got to poll the council.
Oh, I'm sorry. Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs?
Aye.
Councilmember Laraway?
Yes.
Council President McPherson?
Yes.
All right. And now that motion carries. That takes us to public hearings. Item A1, A2, and A3, there was a problem with publication on those, and so I think since they didn't make it in to be published, that we are protected by law with what the legislature did, but in my opinion, I think it's better to make sure that things like that get advertised before we act on them. So my request would be that we table all three of those items for the September 19th meeting.
Okay. I would move we table items 5A1, A2, and A3 until the date certain of September 19th, 2023.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. Item B, consideration to approve case number 22-15. Troy.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and council members. For the record, Troy Behunin, senior planner, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street here in CUNA, in the Planning and Zoning Department. So the application before you this evening is requesting annexation and a zone change only, zone change from Ada County to the city. And they're requesting this approval in order to bring approximately 42.02 acres into the city limits with a C1 neighborhood commercial zone. Public Works does conditionally support the Rising Sun West annexation request with the specific condition that future development applications shall not be submitted until adequate sewer capacity is available. The Planning and Zoning Department does agree with the Public Works assessment and recommendations. Tonight's application and public hearing is for the annexation and the zone change only. They will have to come back in the future with separate applications for any type of further subdivision or land development, site development, or rezoning or anything. This is only for annexation into the city limits tonight. Staff has reviewed the proposed annexation and have found that it is in compliance with CUNA City Code, Idaho State Statutes, the CUNA Comprehensive Plan, and the Future Land Use Map. So it follows what this body has foreseen at this in this part of CUNA. Should the council approve the annexation, staff does recommend that the applicant be subject to the proposed recommended conditions as outlined in the staff memo. There is, the applicant is present tonight, and they, I believe they have a presentation to make, which is in your packet, and it will also be on the screen. And I will be here for any questions that you have. I believe it's the last item on the exhibit list on page 2.
Okay, any questions for Troy?
No, none yet, thanks.
Okay.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Mark Tate with the M3 Companies, 1673 Shoreline Drive, Suite 200. Here with a fairly straightforward application, we originally had planned on bringing a preliminary plat before you guys and a more definitive development plan. But this property, which is shown here on the map, to the west side is existing development in Avalon Street. To the east is a community that we've built called Rising Sun or Indian Creek Ranch subdivision. When we originally started looking at development of the property, there was a little bit of talk about the CUNA curve and what might happen there or might not. Since then, there's been a lot more progress by the city, by ACHD, ITD, some very good discussions going on there. So we've since pulled the preliminary plat as that process moves itself forward. But as we do own the property and there is some opportunity for commercial development, we felt like it was a good time to at least annex into the city of CUNA as we're discussing development opportunities with some mixed use and commercial type users for the area. We love the parcel as it is really an infill project with all utilities to the site, the sewer lines there, the water lines there. We built a PI station, we extended the sewer. So it's really a turnkey development, you know, right adjacent to downtown CUNA. So there's a lot of opportunities. It's been great working with Morgan and the Economic Development Department with a lot of different things that could happen right next to downtown. So we're excited to take a baby step forward. As Troy mentioned, we don't have a development plan before you tonight, but just the annexation. We did include a potential development, you know, bubble plan in the packet, but that's not even before you tonight either. It's really just strictly a commercial designation on a rezone. That's what that bubble plan was. This is the project adjacent to the site, Indian Creek Ranch. We've actually finished the city park along Strobel and the pathway and the other park node over here. Hopefully everybody's seen it. It's a wonderful amenity with pickleball and parking lot for the creek there. A really nice community space along Indian Creek in that area. And then the property is adjacent directly to the west along the creek there. So someday with development, I think there will be a really good opportunity to potentially expand that open space corridor, open space park, that sort of thing. So that's all I had for you tonight. Like I said, we're excited to take a baby step forward, and that's it. Any questions? Yes.
Questions?
Yes.
Yes, go ahead.
On your so-called plat you've got going here, you have commercial or R12?
Yeah, that was really the bubble plan that we had put together while we were thinking about coming in for a preliminary plat. Since we haven't done that, it wouldn't be zoned to R12 or any residential at this point. It would strictly be a C1 designation.
And that's in the pink area. Also in the yellow area to the east, you also have commercial or R12.
Yep. Yeah, and I think eventually we'd like to come back in with a development agreement that really allows for some real mixed use of the project, to see a nice mix of some residential and commercial in the area. I think it would be a perfect location to really, you know, put housing where people have access to open space, access to employment, downtown, that sort of thing. The school district owns 90 acres almost across the street, kind of kitty corner there as well. So it would be a nice infill site eventually for both commercial or residential. But that's
thank you.
Not today.
Anything further?
No, I do, sir. Thank you for your presentation. I am curious, I guess you don't have to answer this question, but the timeline, you're looking at potential development for C1.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a loaded question because this might be a question more for Troy about the year 2028, I think, is when the traffic is slated to be addressed. That's with or without the possible extension of Meridian to an overpass. But if that doesn't happen, it's still supposed to be taken care of by 2028 as far as the CUNA curve goes. That in mind, that's 5 years away.
Sure.
So, you know, sometimes these things can move fast, and you might be back here in a year coming to develop, and then we're going to have major traffic problems more than we already do at CUNA Road.
Yeah.
So that's my reasoning to ask, yeah. Sir.
Yeah, and, you know, depending on who the user is, you know, there can be users, you know, one in particular that we've talked about a need for the city of CUNA as a hospital. And, you know, those are things that move like extremely, extremely slow. So having a baby step forward like this, you know, really allows us the opportunity to talk to folks, even if the development timeline could be longer, could get those discussions started.
Thank you.
Yep.
Okay, anything further?
Very good.
All right, thank you. And this is something I've brought up before, but I guess I'm again a little disappointed in the neighborhood meeting minutes that were presented. They're not very helpful. Basically, it just says comments and concerns were regarding the proposed project, timeline, and irrigation. I think you could probably say that for any project that goes to a neighborhood meeting. So, in my mind, what I'm looking for in neighborhood meeting minutes is the concerns of the neighbors and their questions and comments and what was said to address those. So hopefully in the future we can get those minutes a little better and a little more complete than that. So, all right, this is a public hearing. And is there anybody who wishes to testify in this matter that didn't get a chance to sign in? Couple of you there. I'm separating your sheets. Pass those over to have them sign in. So while they're getting signed in, we'll go ahead and start with those that did. Rebecca Simmons.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Simmons, and I live on Thea Drive.
Okay. Yeah, if you would just state your address also for the record.
2035 East Thea Drive.
Thank you.
And when we put money down on this property, we went into the planning department because Thea Drive stopped, so we knew there must be something else. And we were told that there was going to be a phase two of houses. And we thought, oh, that's okay. You know, that works great. We went to the last meeting with the planning department in the spring. And then just like Thursday, we found out about this meeting of changing it from before it was R18 and possibly some commercial. And when we were here then, I spoke up about the concerns about Thea Drive, because when we moved into this area, we thought it was a community and not where our street would continue into a commercial development. and the traffic. There's a pool on Thea Drive. There is play equipment on Thea Drive. There's parking along the street. And we were concerned about, now we're concerned about making it a very busy street. We are also concerned about the intersection, which I understand, you know, we were told about the bridge, so we knew that that was a possibility. But we haven't gotten an answer of whether you're going to allow a development or a commercial space before anything is done at the intersection. And there's accidents out there all the time. A lot of them are fender benders. But there has been serious accidents. So we are very concerned about the traffic on our development. You know, we all spend a lot of money on our houses. And the traffic for turning and getting out off of Cuna Road on towards town.
Okay.
And so those are our real concerns. And, I hope that during this process, those can be talked about and maybe a resolution. Thank you.
All right. Very good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Celeste Wilson. Oh, I'm sorry. You said not testify. I apologize. Sometimes I forget to pay attention. Eric Combe.
Thank you. Eric Combe, 1900 East Thea Drive in Indian Creek Ranch. That community, which is not an inexpensive community, there's homes valued over $1 million. They sold for over $1 million, a lot of custom builds, was, I think, marketed and developed and sold with the understanding that it is going to be a community, a single-family residence community with upscale amenities and upscale homes and a good value going down the road, despite the fact that these are pretty expensive. And it seems to me that if that property adjacent and especially directly connected via Thea is commercial only, it's going to render a lot of those understandings to be untrue, and I think would be detrimental. There's certainly value in and reason for having some commercial out near the highway and the development of that with additional traffic controls, stoplights, things like that would definitely be valuable all the way around, but full commercial would be a big concern. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. All right, that's all I have to sign up to testify. Is there anybody else who wishes to testify? All right. Thank you very much. Mark, would you like to give a rebuttal?
Mark Tate, again, for the record, and just so everybody has it in front of them. Thea Drive is this street right here that they were referencing. And part of the development process, and I know you've all seen it before, ACHD or the city staff will require street stubs to extend connectivity to neighborhoods. They don't want to landlock folks. So there is a street stub there. We're not necessarily proposing any specific layout on that, and really depending on what ultimately gets proposed on that property, that street stub may or may not be useful. There could be future access on Cuna Road, could be future access on Meridian Road. So I think that's still not a given that street has to go through there. Depending on what goes over there, it might be better to go through there if there's some other medium density, higher density residential transitioning into commercial, then it might make sense to do it. So I think they're all valid concerns and things for discussion with the development application when it comes forward, but we're not there yet at this time. So I can appreciate that. And the property, this 40 acres, I think Troy could speak to it better than I can, but I know as long as I've seen it, which is at least 5 years, has been a commercial designation on the comp plan.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Any further questions for Mr. Tate?
No.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
All right. If I have you speak again, then he does another rebuttal. I'm willing to do that if that's something that's... Okay, yeah, just go ahead and state your name and address. People get mad at me for doing this, but I think it's important for you to be heard.
It is really important. Rebecca Simmons again at 2035 East Thea Drive. At the last meeting, we had the same discussion. Oh, we're concerned with the neighborhood the developer is. We go outside this building, and he turns to us and says, oh, well, there won't be that much traffic on the street. So I hope all of you take into consideration that they're out to make money on this development, but would you please protect our neighborhood? I mean, you know, have that in mind, too.
Sure.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Mark, did you wish to say anything then?
Mark Tate again for the record, 1673 Shoreline Drive, Suite 200. I did talk to the neighbors after the meeting. I'm not sure I made any sort of representations on how much traffic would or would not be on a road that may or may not exist. So I try not to do that as much as I can and reiterate that we don't know what the street layout would look like. So it's hard to say if there would be any traffic on it at all. So, okay, thank you.
All right. Rightfully before council.
Need to question anyone else?
Thanks. Do you need to question anyone else?
I just wanted to confirm with Troy that the 2028 timeline is if I'm understanding that correct, for the upgrade of the CUNA curve.
For the record, Trevi here in CUNA Planning and Zoning Department. I believe that's just a target date. I don't, you know, there's so many things that depend on development moving forward. I would certainly be happy to reach out to ACHD, ITD, Boise Project, and EMS. Everybody that's already responded in your packets, because all of them are going to have something to say about this. Plus, there's the, you know, the study for the corridor. There's a tremendous amount of things that are going on, and you know, we certainly do have traffic in mind. I mean, that is something that everybody is concerned about.
And the letter does say they did their analysis based on a 2028 target date. So I guess there's nothing set in stone.
Correct. I believe it's Morgan ITD from Economic Development would like to say something.
Thank you, Troy. I think it's really important when you're looking at this kind of annexation, a commercial annexation without a development plan attached to it, to realize that this is a step forward in moving the property into the city limits so we can begin to have discussions with users. And like has been brought up over and over again, that traffic piece is part of the thing that would be evaluated with a development application moving forward. So depending on the kind of development or the kind of user type is going to have a huge impact on traffic and traffic mitigation that would be required. And like any kind of development, if a user that is going to have a traffic impact looks at that parcel and moves forward, they would be required to go through the ACHD traffic impact process and at that time be required to make those upgrades as part of their application. So I just want to make sure that we're looking at this in the correct order as far as a commercial annexation goes. Does that help you understand that timeline piece a little bit better?
I mean, ultimately it's going to have to come back through anyway.
Yes.
We're going to have to evaluate.
And if a development application came forward that would advance needs for traffic mitigation before 2028, that would be required as a condition of approval for that development.
Thank you.
And Morgan, don't hit me tomorrow, but would you please state your name and address for the record?
Morgan Treasure, Economic Development Director of City of CUNA.
I have a question for Doug.
Yeah.
The future land use map. What is the actual, the date that this current designation went in? Do you have the what year that was?
For the record, Doug Hansen, Keno Planning and Zoning Staff. So when this application or talks of it initially came forward, it was actually submitted once. It was then withheld for the corridor study to progress. So in that initial time frame, it was designated commercial. Right now, the future land use map designation currently is mixed use as of November 1st, 2022.
Thank you. Further question?
No? I think we can deliberate.
Okay, I would move we close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second.
Okay, motions made and seconded to close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation. Does that actually cover closing the public hearing? You'll make that part of your motion.
I'll make that part of my motion to close the public hearing.
All right. Second, still stand?
Correct. Second.
Yes.
So we have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
Fire away, Mr. Bruce. Well, I think I look at it like this. If you look at the map, right, we already have a red light that we're trying to make work down the street at Avalon. I would rather see some type of plan for the future of it rather than just to rezone it now, especially to possibly R12 to R20. We know what's going in there. Well, it says right here, right? Commercial standards or R12 or R20. That's not what it says on it. But that's what it says on the map, right? Troy, what?
I'm with...
Yeah, I mean... Why am I looking at a map if it's not part of it?
That's why I brought it up. The developer, it says R20 and R12.
Rebbe Hinnan, can you... I'm sorry. For the record, Rebbe Hinnan, Keno Planning and Zoning Department, and Senior Planner. So the map you see with the with those designations, that is not the request this evening. They are requesting C1 for the entire 42 acres. It is just a concept. That's all it is. They have to annex in, and if they do anything, they rezone for an R12 or an R20, in the future, they have to come back. They have to ask for permission. That is representation purposes only. They are not asking for R12 or R20, C1.
Thank you.
Now, did we just open the public hearing back up?
Well, we'll just try to not
move
go
along
there again.
I would like to see a plan before I voted yes on this personally.
And
I think I can sum it up to that.
And this is my two cents. Again, my logic applies. We're trying to bring a piece of property and development into annexation, and we know nothing about what's going to be there. It's a what if. We don't know. And I have neighbors that are concerned, and
right,
we can't give them any answers. Commercial or not, this doesn't tell me what we're annexing, other than the 42 acres of what. That's not smart for me. I know you're thinking different, but you have to understand, you have hope that this is going to be full of commercial. You don't know that. You have no idea what's going to come before us in 6 months to a year. This could be nothing but R20, the whole thing. And there's our traffic problem.
Commercial could be a traffic problem, too.
Plus schools.
That's just my two cents.
But like Morgan said, you know, I think the that would all be taken care of in a future development, but I'm tending to agree with you all about wanting to see. I'd like to know a little more about what it's going to be, especially because of the concerns of the Indian Creek subdivision that borders it.
Okay.
What are your thoughts, Mr. McPherson?
Well, I mean, I hear the neighbors' concerns, and, you know, going from whatever their classification is to R12, 20, whatever,
or even commercial, you know, we need to make that transition. But I guess I look at the big picture that it's an annexation request. They have to zone it as something right now to annex it. They can't just say, we want to annex this ground and not give it a classification. This is the step that gets it to that. I see your point of you want to know what's coming for it, but they have to have it marketable before they can.
So are we looking at it then to where we're saying, hey, we're going to rezone this for you so you can go out and sell it? Why not say, but then, because then we've already done it, right? Then it's commercial. There's no way, I mean, we'd have to go back, or why not say, hey, we have this piece of property. We'd like to put commercial here. I mean, I get what they're saying as well. Nobody's going to look at it if we don't zone it commercial, right? That's what.
Well, that
and I understand that too, but these folks
right.
bought property without, I mean, I get it, right? It's their land. They can do what they want. We don't want the government telling them what they can and can't do. But right now, if you look at it, even with commercial, that part, that section of town right there is a nightmare to drive through already. You know?
Well, and they might sit on it a long time. Look at Hubbard and 10 Mile. We've rezoned that 3 or 4 times, and it's still a farmable field that they haven't been able to market and sell.
Yeah.
And supposedly there's a convenience store going on that corner, but there's also been that same convenience store going to be built up the road 6 miles for the last 10 years. So until I see an excavator out there doing some work, I don't know. My thought is it's just the step to get it marketable. Maybe they have the need after they do, and they come in and say, hey, we need to change all this to R4 and go from there. I mean, we have the ability to stop it later.
Do we?
Right. Well, we have the
do we?
To zone it. They can't rezone if it doesn't fit what we need it to fit.
It's a rezone on mixed use.
Well, they want it
once
to be
we
C1.
Annex it in, it's mixed use.
It's
C1. Well, C1 is the designation they're asking.
Right. They want to put all commercial.
So once we annex it in with C1, it's C1.
Right.
I haven't seen C1. I've seen commercial or R20.
It says that in the.
It says it all over the map. Commercial R12, commercial R20, commercial.
Well, he was explaining that was their.
They just put that there just in case. Point. Is what they're saying.
What we're looking at tonight is C1. I keep going back to the traffic issue because, and I understand and can appreciate that a developer is going to come in and they're going to have to make upgrades and everything, but that corner is a nightmare, like we said, and that's going to be a lot more, and ITD even said it in their original memo, that's going to be a lot more than just making a few, you know, changing a few curbs and fixing a driveway or something like that. I mean, this is going to be a major undertaking. And, you know, Home Depot shows up next month and wants to start developing. I don't know that area could handle that at the moment.
Well, I don't think you can handle R12 traffic. Mm-hmm. And I'd hate to see that type of development up against these high-end developments. I mean, that makes no sense. That's what we've said many, many, many times.
You got $1 million house next to a Walmart.
Take care of their neighbors.
Well, they came in with the, it was designated as mixed use, I believe.
Right.
With the reasonable understanding that it was probably going to be residential that would extend out. But now this isn't the case for the zone.
Well, I'm not making a motion because you three will shoot it down, so you're up, one of you.
The only thing we're voting on is annexation.
Uh-huh.
We're not voting on apartments. We're not voting on, we're voting on annexation.
Right.
The rest of that, if we vote yes on annexation, we'll have to deal with that later. But it's still mixed use.
Well, it could be. It's still designated mixed use. They just want to put commercial there. They're asking for C1. But, yeah, I understand what you're saying.
So it can't be annexed and keep it mixed use?
Well, the zoning is mixed use. It'll be commercial once we zone it.
But if we don't zone it, if we don't...
The annexation, the request is a C1. So
right.
It wouldn't be a matter of splitting it up and redoing that.
Can I say something? For the record, Doug Hansen, Kuna Planning and Zoning. Just as a point of clarification, right now when you annex, you have to establish a zoning district for a parcel. With these two parcels, they're coming in as C1 because when it shows up on the assessor's website, you'll see one zone on one parcel. In the future, whenever a preliminary plat occurs, if there's any type of mixed-use component to it, the zone would be set up in that parcel configuration. So right now, they're coming in with a C1 zone, purely with annexation. With future development, it's likely that it could switch to mixed use. We don't know that yet. It's really difficult right now with the 160-foot requirement of right-of-way going right through the site to determine how it is going to be laid out. And then just as one further point, I just wanted to say that to the 2028, ITD did perform a corridor vision in 2019 dated to 2040, and that did show a total, it showed Meridian Road going through the site, and it did show a total reconfiguration of the intersection of Avalon and Meridian Road as a, I believe, a 7x7 or an 8x8 configuration, just for information.
Doug, would you do me a favor, and just for the public central, what is C1?
C1 is neighborhood commercial.
Neighborhood commercial, mm-hmm. Okay.
Developers typically pay for the 7x7, 8x8 type of a...
No, they'll sell the land, ASC, or ITD.
That would be an ITD project.
So we put houses all around it and then the school district across the street, right? County corner, is that right? They have land up to them.
It lines up with Strobel Road.
Otherwise.
Does someone have a motion they'd like to make?
What do you think?
What do you guys think?
I mean, I'd rather see a plan there's residential all around it, personally, before we zone it commercial and it does end up a Walmart or whatever there. And even if we wanted to put a hospital there, is that where we want to put it, at that corner?
Well, that's where all the accidents are.
You're thinking budget wise here.
Chief, he's helping out.
He's not wrong, Chris. He's not wrong.
Sorry, Chief.
Great logic.
Is it logic?
Within our means to ask for a plan to come back and zone? Is there precedent for that? I'm the new guy asking this one.
Well, they come back with a different idea. Mm-hmm. But we wouldn't request that and be up to them to decide.
What do you think, John?
What's that?
You got any other questions?
Not really. I mean, it's a game of what if or...
Okay, I'll make a motion that we deny zone C1 of 22-15-AN.
Is that your motion?
Yes.
I'll second.
All right, we have a motion and a second to deny case 22-15-AN. Further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Nay.
And that motion carries. All right, that takes us consideration to approve case number 2301-0A, ordinance amendment. Doug Hansen.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The City of Kuna requests consideration from the Council for an ordinance amendment to combine Title V zoning regulations and Title VI subdivision regulations into one development regulations title. Proposed changes include but are not limited to the definitions, the decision-making authority process table for the public hearing process, the official schedule of district land use regulations, the official height and area standards table, newly proposed overlay districts, changes to parking requirement minimums, the lot split and lot line adjustment application process, and landscaping requirements. The commission recommended approval of the ordinance amendment with the recommended changes shown in Exhibit 2.12. And then as a reminder, this application was noticed for two public hearings this evening and September 19th, 2023, to ensure for adequate time for public comment. I will stand by for any questions you have.
Okay, questions for Doug.
Thank you, Doug. Is this part of the, when we went back and forth and redlined it, is this where we were taking public hearings away from council and putting them in planning and zoning, essentially?
That's correct. So what the process would lay out as is, right now, the way it's currently set up in Idaho Code and the Local Land Use Planning Act, the Planning and Zoning Commission makes a recommendation to the decision-making body. You then have the authority to either accept the recommendation as your own through a public meeting without holding a hearing, or we could then move forward to rehold the agenda item as a public hearing. So the way it's set up in this amendment would be, it'd still go to the Planning and Zoning Commission as traditional. They would provide the recommendation to you for approval or denial, at which point, if you're okay with that decision, you could accept it as your own in a public meeting. If not, there would be a vote, and a 50-50 vote would then allow you to move it to another public hearing. The mayor would be unable to break a tie in this case, so it would take a 50% vote by the council to want to rehear the item. And if that was the case, then we would re-notice for a public hearing, and it would be brought before you.
Isn't that what we do now?
So right now, the way it's currently set up is there's always a public hearing with the city council, and there's always a public hearing with the Planning and Zoning Commission to make a recommendation, and then there's always a public hearing with the city council. This would allow the opportunity for a public meeting after the commission's recommendation for you to just be able to accept that decision on your own, or you can vote to reopen a public hearing, at which point we would re-notice and hold a public hearing.
If I can just clarify how the agenda will look, there will be a new section on there for the decisions that planning and zoning have recommended. Those will be a different section, and then at that time you will either make a motion to accept their decision or you'll make a motion for it to come back to public hearing. And so each item that comes from planning and zoning, that choice will be yours, and that's how it'll be listed on the agenda.
Doug, is the 50%, is that a CUNA thing or is that a state thing?
Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff. So that was just a recommendation to ensure that we wanted the decision makers to be the city council. We didn't want the mayor to have to break a tie in this case. But we did, since it's a four-person council, there was no way to get a simple majority without the mayor's vote. So we just want to ensure that 50% would want to be able to vote to reopen a public hearing so that one person wouldn't be the outlier every single time to just reopen the public hearings if three out of the four council members was okay with accepting the decision during a public meeting.
And I also think that's okay because that puts it on the council to be able to make that decision. I think that council is the one that ultimately generally makes decisions on land use and that type of thing. I think it's better for you to decide if I want to hear from the public on this, or if I think this one's simple and we can just go forward with it. So,
yeah, I'm kind of stuck on the 50 thing. I think we're giving power to unelected people at the planning and zoning level, and then we have to have, you know, a majority here to hear it, where we could have three people who just couldn't care about the project, one who does, right there like, hey, it's good. Then we don't have the ability to go back and forth and change that. Right, then it's set in stone, and you know, we can't go back and actually watch those meetings. We get what the minutes or recommendation is. What you're saying, they would shoot us a letter.
Planning and zoning staff. Doug, Yeah, Doug Hansen, Kino Planning and Zoning Staff. Sorry about that. So I don't think there's anything that precludes you from watching the Planning and Zoning Commission meetings online or listening to the minutes or anything like that. And this isn't taking the decision-making authority away. The Planning and Zoning Commission always has to make a recommendation. This is just giving you the opportunity to accept the recommendation without holding another public hearing.
I think it takes that connection from us and our constituents away from us.
Yeah. I'm also concerned about the time, potential time that it increases for a project to get approved. Because obviously you could go back and my inclination is I generally want to hear what's going on for public hearings. So it almost seems like you might have two people voting all the time, but to have the public hearing anyway, but I actually would like, if we did go with this, I'd like the standard to be dropped down to 25%. If one person wanted to hear it, that the public hearing would be because then you're really looking at something that the PNZ, everyone unanimously thinks that the PNZ, you know, everything is great, everything is right, but if one person has the question, I like one person being able to bring it up to in front of the council.
Well, to hear from the community, but if we go in and watch the, this is for Mark, if we go in and watch the planning and zoning meetings, do we just disclose it here, or do we just, because I know there's been some back and forth about, hey, you can, or if you learn something more or not, or CYA,
Mark,
I guess.
Mark Bybee, city attorney. So the what happens at planning and zoning is part of the record of proceedings for the matter. So I don't consider it inappropriate for you to be aware of that. You should be aware of it. You should review your packet. You should know that stuff.
I'm not talking about reading the packet. I'm talking about watching the meetings.
Or yeah, but the packet's meetings. Ultimately based on the meeting, right? The decision's based on the meeting. So the meeting is part of the record of proceedings. And so I don't see there being a problem in you being aware of that because those are the facts that led to the recommendation, right? And it's kind of getting to Council Member Biggs' question about, you know, is this state code? State code requires that on land use applications under LUPA that a public hearing happen. If you read the code, it talks about it happening at the PNZ level. For reasons I can't explain, it's just kind of customarily become in a lot of jurisdictions in Idaho. They have the mandatory meeting at PNZ, but then there's always a second meeting at City Council, though not mandated by LUPA. It's just become that way through the way city ordinance. I wouldn't even say through the way city ordinances have been drafted. Some city ordinances don't even provide for it. It just has started happening. And so I can tell you, not just in CUNA, but in other jurisdictions, I've had the experience of sitting through PNZ and hearing testimony, hearing the facts described, and then coming to the council meeting and hearing generally the same testimony. And I'm not going to say that's always. You sometimes hear new things, but it's, in my opinion, affected the quality of what happens at PNZ because applicants even sometimes come and say, this is just PNZ, let's ram it through PNZ, not do the best job here, and then we'll actually really work on our application in front of the council. And so in my, working with Doug to rewrite this, part of the motivation was to make that PNZ hearing of real significance. Like, that's where your hearing's happening. That's where you really get your application put together and really, dialed in. You don't show up at council and try and, polish it there. It should be polished at PNZ. And so that was part of the motivation in doing that. And I know Councilmember Bruce brought this up to me, a while ago. He's like, hey, I feel like that separates me from my constituents. I'll flat out say I didn't write it with the perspective of, that political ramification. I wrote it from a legal, perspective of procedurally, how do we create a clean record, get better applications starting at the PNZ time frame, and hopefully alleviate some repeat testimony that you can see happen and often does happen when you have the mandatory second meeting.
Question for Doug. If we go forward with this, and hypothetically we do have one or two of us prefer an open meeting on a particular subject, doesn't that delay everything? Because now we got to set it out for 2 or 3 weeks until we get everybody back in.
So there's usually a time delay between Planning and Zoning Commission and City Council regardless. What this would actually do is, since there'd be no noticing requirement to get to the City Council, that public meeting would actually get before you before a public hearing ever would, so it would give you an opportunity to review the application, review the P&Z recommendation. And piggybacking off of what Mark said, a lot of the intent behind this essentially was for some of these applications that we would deem technical compliance, a piece of property that's already zoned, that's they're just platting or applications of a more simple nature, this would be a way to somewhat streamline that process. We're not trying to skirt anything with public hearings or anything like that or giving anybody an adequate chance to testify. And speaking to the 25% or 50% rule, if that's something that you want to change, that is something you can recommend and we will change this. You guys are the ultimate decision-making authority, so that's an easy change. We can make that change.
Well, and one thing is, I'm thinking about this, is we would depend more on more feedback from the community, what they want us to bring it to council. You know, if this is a particular case. I mean, because like Doug said, there are plenty of very simple plat splits, lot splits and whatnot that probably could fall under this category, but some of them that are a little more complicated.
I really worry about the separation, right? Because they come and they plead their hearts out to planning and zoning, right? Those people are appointed. There's no recourse for if they're not doing a bad job or if they're not holding up their end of the deal to the community. Whereas opposed to us, we get replaced every 4 years, right? So there's some level of accountability. Plus, there has been variations from what we as a council would like to see from what we've been receiving from planning and zoning lately.
Well, and I guess to back up to my question that I asked, hypothetically, like tonight's situation, if planning and zoning had approved this and it came before us and we said, okay, wait a minute, we'd have to wait another 2 or 3 weeks to get all these people back in here.
So sort of. So what would happen is Planning and Zoning Commission is still not making any decisions. They don't have any decision-making authority. They would make the same traditional recommendation as they have. But the first public meeting in front of you where you could choose to accept that recommendation, that's not noticed. That doesn't go out to the public. It'll appear on an agenda, but we're not sending out mailers. We're not putting it in the newspaper. That wouldn't be a requirement. It would be at that public meeting that wasn't publicly noticed, that's when you decide we want to reopen the public hearing, at which point staff would then turn around and we would notice it traditionally as we would for a public hearing before the City Council.
Okay, thank you.
Is this something that's kind of moving across just cities in general? I've seen a lot of people rewriting those codes. Is this how a lot of the local cities around us are moving? Or do they operate in the same manner? Do you know?
I don't know if either me or Doug have enough information to accurately answer that. So I'm sorry. I know there's rewrites happening in other jurisdictions. I can't account for whether any are doing this similar approach.
The reason I was asking, like STAR doesn't have a Planning and Zoning Commission. They have a Planning and Zoning Director that approves things and moves it up to the council.
And that is, so Mark Bybee, City Attorney, that is a possibility under development code or under planning, sorry, LUPA, if I can use the right term. You don't actually have to form a planning and zoning commission. If you don't, the council actually serves a dual role as the planning and zoning commission and the council. And so then you don't have the extra hearing because you're just, it's the same body essentially appearing all at once, right? I don't recommend that in a city like a model like that in a city like CUNA. Honestly, I wouldn't recommend it for STAR either, if you want my opinion. I think when you're experiencing the growth pressure that both those communities are, having, a specialized body, the Planning and Zoning Commission, whose focus is land use, is important because they develop some expertise in that, which should hopefully help, benefit the community as they become more familiar with the process, with your ordinances and those things. Because you look at the council, the only thing on your agenda tonight wasn't land use, right? You have a lot of things well beyond the scope of land use on your agenda tonight. And so that's kind of when you look at it and why you form a Planning and Zoning Commission, develop that expertise, in that body so that you're able to, have that there, and the council doesn't become strictly a land use body because you've got a lot more business that you do on every one of your agendas typically.
Well, I think it still shows up on your agenda, so then you have a chance to look at it and say, this is a simple lot split, no big deal. There wasn't a lot of contention about it, so that's fine. Otherwise, so in that case, you would be able to avoid the expense of the mailings and the notifications and all that, whereas some of them you're going to look at and say, well, this was a lot split, but it looks to me like there was a lot of issue with it, so we want to hear this one. So then it comes to you. So you're not giving up your authority or your working with the public on any of this, as far as I can see. I think it just simplifies the process where it needs to be simplified, and you still have the option to bring forward any that you want to bring forward. And whether you do that with one vote or two votes is kind of up to you. I don't really see that one vote wouldn't be just fine. If somebody's got a problem with it, then
we should want to hear it, right? What do you think, Biggs? I'm okay with that.
I want to lower the threshold to 25% or one person.
John?
I agree.
All right. This is a public hearing. I didn't have anybody sign up to testify. Is there anybody who wishes to? Okay. Actually, if you want, just go up there and speak slowly, and I'll write it down. Are you going to be in favor, neutral, or in opposition?
Beverly Wolf, 3420 West Commemoration Avenue.
All right. I'm sorry. Are you going to be in favor or opposition or neutral?
I'm partially in opposition because of what you're saying. You're talking about pulling public hearings to planning and zoning only, correct?
So once again, I'm
opposition.
Need your name?
Beverly Wolf. 3420 West Commemoration Avenue, Meridian, at CUNA.
3420
West Commemoration.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so we get 3 minutes anytime we speak as the public, whether it's here or whether it's in planning and zoning. Developer gets 10. So if you're going to cut it down to just one meeting, are we going to get our time tripled? I'm just asking. I mean, I like that we have both arenas to speak because certain things seem to strike here differently than they do in planning and zoning. Planning and zoning seems to have one kind of purpose. And like you said, you guys listen to something else. You hear other things. And the developments that are going in, and as quickly as they're going in here in CUNA, they're moving so fast that what planning and zoning might recommend or approve doesn't necessarily, in their mind, because it's not their designation, to understand what's going to affect the taxpayers. Because bottom line, the other side of the expenses of every development hits my back pocket and anybody who lives here, right? Because the developers cover certain things and certain expenses that is adjacent to their property. But when the roads and the roundabouts and the other things need to get extended, that's levied on me in the taxes that you just approved, right? So I like having both arenas to maybe, in some cases where we're trying to fight something, maybe get our argument through. Because a lot of times people don't feel like they can speak. A lot of people here are quiet because they're afraid to speak. I'm taking a chance every time I get up, but I'm here anyway.
Are you afraid to speak?
Not right now. I got a bigger boss. So
that's good.
Anyway, no. I mean, but I've heard things of people getting threatened for speaking, and that's all I can say about that. But it's, you know, it needs to be done. People, we the people should have a voice.
Sure.
And I appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for speaking.
Was there anybody else? All right. Thank you.
Okay, well, I would move we close the public hearing and close the evidence presentation and proceed to deliberation.
Second. Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion?
Mr. Mayor, sorry, Doug Hansen for the Keno Planning and Zoning staff. For the record, this was noticed for September 5th and September 19th, so the public would have two opportunities to come out and provide comment. So we don't need a motion this evening. We'll need to at least hold it again on September 19th to allow time for additional testimony to be provided.
Okay. All right. So basically where we're at right now is if you want any more deliberation this evening or probably want to finish what you're saying, you're not going to be here for the next meeting. Is that correct?
Yes. So my thoughts are to address what Ms. Wolf just said. I think this is where it's incumbent on if we go this route, and I don't think there's anyone on the council here that hasn't been receptive or isn't afraid to speak up, you know, amongst our colleagues here, because we kind of do that all the time. But I would say that it would be incumbent, the public would need to engage more, I guess, with the council person if you have any reason at all to bring it to public hearing. Because honestly, if somebody said, I want to hear it for whatever reason, sure. I'm not going to play 20 questions with them. If they have a reason they want to be brought up, then I would probably go with them rather than to ignore and just pass it on through.
And just a thought, something just came into my mind. This lady brought it to my attention. If you had a public hearing at the planning and zoning level, and that person disagreed with it, the public disagreed with the decision, if they came to the city council 2-3 weeks later, whatever it is, we wouldn't hear from them.
For the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning staff. So that's where it's important that the city council review the packet materials and see the kind of testimony that was provided at the Planning and Zoning Commission.
But I'm not talking about us. I'm talking about the public.
So
if they disagreed with the decision made at Planning and Zoning, mm-hmm. they could speak at Planning and Zoning. But if they wanted to overrule that, if you will, because they have a right to put their foot down and go, no. If they come to the meeting when it's presented before us, they don't get to speak.
Well, they wouldn't be noticed. It wouldn't even be noticed.
Right.
Unless we said, hey, we looked at this. There's a lot of people here that mm-hmm. have showed up. We want to have this hearing. Then you would go and notice it, 30 days and then?
So it wouldn't necessarily be 30 days. We would try to get it on the next available city council meeting within our noticing requirement. We have a certain number of days we have to hit to get it in the CUNA Melbourne newspaper. They only publish on Wednesdays, so it would take a little bit of time to get it back in front of you for a public hearing. But just as a point of clarification, so every packet in the record, the sign-in sheet is included, the minutes are included. So if someone is in opposition and voiced their opposition during the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, that's a part of the record before you. That will still be before you in your packet for the public meeting for City Council. You will have a packet just like you have now. It will just be a public meeting packet, and then you will decide if you want to accept that recommendation or if you want to reopen, and then you'll have the same packet again, and it will be noticed to the public.
And you said that we could either go back and watch the meeting or attend the meeting, which is weird because I thought there was some talk about how we did that before.
Just as long as you don't all show up.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can look at the meeting once it becomes part of your packet.
All right. So we're getting it. Mark Bybee.
Well, there's been talk over the last couple of months about what we could and couldn't do.
Right. I think he's talking about once it gets on your agenda here, then.
Yeah.
Then
so
we can go watch it.
We're kind of getting into the weeds, but we're here, so let's talk about it.
this is important.
So when there's the public meeting at P&Z, if that's the only public meeting, I'm thinking about this from a judicial review angle and, like, how it would go and what would become, like, the actual transcribed record. And it'd be that audio that took place.
Sorry. I got it.
The transcribed record, if this was to go to a judicial review and there's only the public hearing at P&Z, it would be the P&Z hearing. So that hearing is the record at that point. Like, that is the only record. And I think something that's coming up, Doug pointed out this out to me, if the whole council attended the meeting, okay, now we have a quorum issue, right? Or if we have a quorum issue, that could be problematic, but you should be aware of the contents of that meeting. Like, if you're ever going to make a decision, you know, it comes to you, it's like, here it's on the public meeting, it's not a public hearing, it's gone through public hearing at P&Z, and you have a recommendation. If you're going to make a decision, you need to inform yourself fully on what, you know, took place at that decision-making process, or at the P&Z level, to truly make a good decision. And if you don't fully inform yourself, or you see and you're like, there's just stuff that's not covered, that's a reason when you look at the packages, there's not enough information for me here to make a good decision, you would put it on for a public hearing with the council, right? But yeah, there are those issues. If you get in there and you have a quorum, yes, that is a problem. You shouldn't have a quorum president at P&Z. You shouldn't be deliberating there at that level. And so that would be problematic.
Well, once you get your packet, if you're looking at it and you're looking through the information provided and the planning and zoning minutes are in there, however the minutes don't explain the situation, then you would be able to go back and listen to the recording of the P&Z meeting.
And for Councilman Bruce, for the record, Doug Hansen, CUNA Planning and Zoning, there really should be no issue with you watching the live stream of the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. It's just if more than two of you were to show up here in person. So there, if next Tuesday, if there's the live stream of the Planning and Zoning Commission meeting, there would be no problem with you tuning in. You would just need to tune in. You couldn't come in person. You'd have to stream it.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, we're not making a decision tonight, so if you want to...
I think there are a lot... Thank you for all the work you guys have done on it. It's a lot of... I've done a lot. That's just my only problem, is just to connect with the community, because we're the ones getting the phone calls in the middle of the night. Well, I don't know if you guys are, but I'll forward them to you.
No, phone off.
Nope.
Simple. So just to make sure, you wanted to move it to the one-person vote, and...
One person... Okay, yeah. That's my feeling on it. I'm kind of curious what everyone else's thoughts are. I won't be here, but...
Well, they'll bring it back. So, we're not doing anything tonight with it.
So that would be if Beverly calls me one person, and I will turn around and voice my opposition, then great.
Okay.
All right. Very good. Next item, Constitution Week Proclamation. Whereas September 17, 2023 marks the 235th anniversary of the drafting of the Constitution of the United States of America by the Constitutional Convention, and whereas it is fitting and proper to accord official recognition of this magnificent document and its memorable anniversary to the patriotic celebrations which will commemorate the occasion, and whereas Public Law 915 guarantees the issuing of a proclamation each year by the President of the United States designating September 17 through 23 as Constitution Week, now therefore I, Joe Steer, by virtue of the authority vested in me as Mayor of the City of CUNA, do hereby proclaim the week of September 17th through the 23rd as Constitution Week, and ask our citizens to reaffirm the ideals that the framers of this Constitution had in 1787 by vigilantly protecting the freedoms guaranteed to us through this guardian of our liberties, remembering that lost rights may never be regained. In witness hereof, I hereunto set my hand and cause the seal of the state or the city to be affixed to this fifth day of September in the year of our Lord, 2023. And just to add on to that, I think that the things that we're seeing going across our country right now make this very appropriate to bring up and mention at this time in our lives. So,
I have a copy of the Constitution in my car.
You would.
I do.
You would.
All right.
I'll get you one.
Next, consideration to approve resolution R47-2023. Okay. Now, therefore, be it a resolution of the City Council of the City of Cuna, Ada County, State of Idaho, making certain findings and purposes, authorizing the staff and agents of this city to exercise the city's right of eminent domain and obtain easements for the construction and maintenance of a sewer trunk line, and the authorizing any and all necessary actions related thereto and providing an effective date. This was tabled from 8/15/2023, and I see we have a couple of folks in the audience. This isn't a public hearing, but I think it's probably appropriate to let Mr. Grant have something to say if you would like. You know the state your name and address thing, right?
Well, hopefully I remember my name, too.
We'll give you one.
Doug wasn't even paying attention. Neil Durant, 4000 West Hubbard Road in Cuna. Here tonight representing our family's land, Durant Family Home, or Durant Home Place LLC. Where to begin on this is the big question. I know that this has been going on for a little over a year now, trying to get the easements through there, and it's come down to this, and we've been accused really of not being able to negotiate in good faith. And I stand before you this evening, Mayor and Council members, to kind of go over some bullet points of why we've been having some heartaches and troubles with trying to negotiate with the city over this easement. And just trying to bring those so you guys can see what we're at on our side, as I feel like a lot of these issues have not been brought forth by staff and other representatives from the city. Tonight, I'm just going to go through some bullet points that start, we're going to go clear back in the past to 2006, go up to some current things that we have, and then my father, Richard, would like to stand up and just kind of go into detail on a couple more things that is pertinent to this. In 2006, we sold land to the city of Cuna, and in that agreement, it stated that the seller shall be consulted on the design of structures the buyer intends on construction on the property, only for as long as the seller owns adjacent land to the property, which we still own that land. It's still owned by the family. We were consulted on the original design of the building, and we thought that's what was going to happen, and halfway through it, we found out that there was design changes from what, and we were never consulted on any changes that were going to happen through there. We were told and promised and given numerous explanations that this was going to be a zero-odor plant, state-of-the-art facility with different types of scrubbers to eliminate any odor that would ever come through that plant. And that, as to this date, has never been the case of that plant. It still emits a lot of odors, which has caused us issues at our house that we own at that property from being years of not being able to rent it at a full market agreement and other issues that happened during the construction of the plant of that house. When the plant was being constructed, the city leased some ground to us just to the south of there where our pivot was not hitting. And part of that agreement was that after the construction was done, that the ground there would be reclaimed at a minimum depth of 12 inches of topsoil. That never happened. They claimed, well, we didn't take 12 inches off, so we're not putting 12 inches back. And so they neglected on that. That was in the agreement, and they just kind of washed it away and said it's not our problem. Back, I don't know the exact date on this one, but the parking lot was expanded because they needed more parking space there at the plant. And part of that, they came to us and said, we're going to add the parking lot, but now we'll have cars that will be pulling in and facing your house and everything there, but we will add a privacy fence. At first, it was going to be a cinder block fence that was going to be constructed. That way, we wouldn't see the cars wouldn't, you know, be a disturbance. That never happened. We questioned them on that, and then they said, well, we'll put privacy slats through the fence, and if you go by there today, none of that has ever happened. And it has caused other issues with that. As a result, this was probably 5 or 6 years ago, a city employee called the Humane Society twice on my brother's dogs because they were chained up all day while he was at work.
and claimed that they were being neglected, that they were, you know, malnourished, everything. They were German short hair, so of course they look skinny because that's the nature of what a German short hair is. On the second call, because of misleading information, the dogs were taken, and it was a hassle getting them back. And all that was because of, the, in our opinion, the expanded parking lot that was done. They're parking right up next to the fence. Of course, the dogs are not going to like it. And that could have been resolved if the city would have put their fence, did the privacy fence like they said they were going to do and told us they were going to do but never did. And then in 2022, there was the construction of the shop on the site of the wastewater treatment plant. And once again, the city never consulted us on the design as it stated in the sale agreement. We brought this up to them, and they said, well, we didn't have a clue that this existed. And then they gave us design and said, here you go. It's already being built. There's nothing to consult you on. Here's the plan. And then recently, the fall of 2022, the city of Cuna instructed a surveying group to go out and place approximately 34 property markers and rebar, permanent pins, rebar stakes in the ground that are up about 6 inches on a proposed easement for the sewer line, which followed the canal. But it was out in the field on the fence line. And first, they never received our permission to do that, nor that it was going to happen, nor the whole purpose of why they were doing or exactly what they were doing. We've asked multiple times for an explanation on it, and they said that they have the right to do what they're doing, and they're going to get it done. And now I still have 34 permanent pins down there along our fence line. And they also told us that these markers were going to be where the path of the new sewer line was. Well, when we got this new packet of here's what we're looking at for an easement, they're not following the canal. They went down to the corner and took a straight shot across the property. So what was the point of even going out there and placing all these rebar pins on the property without our permission? And then most recently, Paul talked to me this a little bit about today, which was kind of ironic. The construction, we granted a construction access. It was signed north of the roadway of the house at 6820 South 10 Mile Road. Part of that agreement, the city was to redo the driveway as it was just a dirt road to go in and scrape all the dirt, put gravel in, make it a road base so they could have it to bring stuff in if they needed to more as an emergency during construction of the 10-mile sewer pipeline that was just completed. And part of that, which we stated multiple times and walked through and everything, that the level of the dirt was not to go higher than what the concrete ditch was there because we didn't want the soil and the dirt running into the ditch. Well, I was gone out of town, and I came back and looked at the roadway and said, well, I'm going to go see what it looks like. Well, I got dirt that's a roadway now that's 12 to 14 inches above the concrete ditch. I brought this up with city staff. They said, oh, we'll get it resolved. We'll go out there. We walked through it. I said, this is not acceptable. And they said, well, we hit rock with the skid loader when we're excavating it, so we just came and put the roadway in. And to this point, nothing has been done with it. We have a lot of unanswered concerns about construction of this pipeline that we can't get. And they said, well, we can't get these answers until the pipeline's done because we can't negotiate those until we have the easement. We have questions about damage to our field, damage to our soil. We have an irrigation pond that's right there on the corner. What's this pipeline going to do to us in the future? It states in the sale agreement that we cannot build on it, put any permanent structures on it. So we really have 2 acres of ground that are running through the middle of our property that we have no control over what it does. Besides, we can grow crops on it for right now. But in the future, if we do ever decide to develop it or sell it, there's 2 acres that can't be built on. And now we have to plan a design around this easement that we have not agreed upon. Also, when we have the appraisal that came in, they told us we go get our own appraisals on it. But in our opinion, it's not an accurate appraisal. They're trying to appraise the ground just as agriculture farming ground. They're going out 4 or 5 miles away trying to find comps on it at $25,000 to $30,000 an acre. I don't know where you can find that ground here in the city of Cuna that's going for that. We have an adjacent parcel that's right next to ours that just sold for $125,000 an acre. We've just settled, had an agreement with ACHD for some road work. And they gave us over $3.50 a square foot. And so where these guys are coming up with these appraisals, and they talk in the appraisal that it states that there's city sewers is all around us, that we have it there. So why is it being valued just as farm ground and not what the future is going to be on it? Because essentially, once this easement goes in, we have zero control of what this ground is. It's essentially owned by the city, because we can never build on it, do anything on it, because that we can't dig through it, because we have that pipeline that goes through there. And this last thing that I have to bring up, it's more on a personal note. My wife is going to come speak tonight. As many of you know, she is a representative representing District 23, which encompasses part of CUNA. And she had another speaking engagement tonight as a representative. But March 13th, she received a letter from the city of CUNA talking about Governor Little's proposed $115 million funding for water and wastewater infrastructure. This was really never a topic during the session. It was never brought into committees that she was on, never brought anything that she could even vote on it. And later on, she did find out that it was for cities under 20,000 people, which so that doesn't even include what the city of CUNA is, because we're over 20,000. But it does go down to a House bill that was very confrontational at the time that the city was opposed to, and she was in support of it and co-sponsoring the bill, which was House Bill 159. And it says, if this is successful, our needs will be greater for projects that encourage important industrial growth. And so, and then if 159 is successful, they would have to shift to other areas where that commercial growth would be. And part of it that is stated in there was the Mason Creek project, which was kind of ironic that she was on there. This is talking about our family's ground. She took this letter to leadership when she got it. Leadership immediately took a response from all other legislators at the Capitol to see if anyone else had received the letter. She was the only one who received the letter. And so it felt like it was pinpointed at her, kind of underlying some different things that were going on and a lot of things that really weren't going on. Under advisement, they went to the Attorney General. The Attorney General had her write an email back asking for a response, further clarification on that letter. It never came through. She never got a response back to it. And currently, the Attorney General is holding on to this letter for the possibility of extortion from what's going on, depending on how things play out. You know, and we don't want to get to that point. Our family's been here since 1947. We want to be good neighbors. We've always tried to negotiate and work well with the city. We sponsor a lot of different community events that go on. We bring equipment down when things at the park. You know, we want to be involved in the city. We've been here forever. People know who we are. And we want to negotiate in good faith, but how can we negotiate in good faith when it feels like every time there's a negotiation that goes on, we're always on the losing end from the city? And that's our point that we want to make tonight, is how can we negotiate in good faith when we've never been treated fairly? I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Mayor, if I could respond to his recitation of his wife's interaction with the letter. The letter that is being referred to did not go just to her. I issued out that to multiple leadership representative of CUNA. I emailed it. I do have email records of that. In addition to that, that was a request made by the Association of Idaho Cities that was forwarded to leadership of the city, and that was what that letter was generated from. If there's any requests for records of that, I'd be happy to process that through my office.
I will let her know. That's just what I've been told and what she was told, that there was no other letters.
And I'm happy to provide any of that. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, that happens quite often. Association of Idaho Cities will ask us to reach out to our local representatives, and so that she shouldn't have been the only one that got that. It should have went to all of them.
Well, I know she had an email response back from the speaker asking, that was sent out to everyone asking.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that the speaker would do such a thing. So.
And that they said that there was no other responses. That's why they went to the Attorney General.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank
Richard.
You, Mr. Durant.
Miles Baker.
You guys have made it a long evening already. I didn't bring all this to Coach Brown. Mayor, members of council, Richard Grant, 7592 South 10 Mile Road, Meridian. My history with the sewer treatment plant goes back before any of you were not conceived in your case, Greg. But it goes back to 2005 when Mayor O'Bray and Kevin Shreve approached me, family, members of the community, looking for a place for the treatment plant to be located. As all of you probably read through history, there was a tremendous amount of growth going on, and the city was looking forward for a path forward, creating an LID, which I have my own opinions of extortion on that. I mean, it caused, in my mind, premature death of a few people. And so I could do the math and say LID, unless you were going to develop, did not make sense to anybody. And so I would say Mayor O'Bray, Kevin Shreve, I mean, Kevin Shreve beat LID into my head from day one, and I finally told him on the day of closing, when he hit me one more time about LID and annexing the ground into the LID, that this deal would be completely off, because there's no way to make it feasibly possible to pay for if I'm going to be farming for what I would like to think future generations.
Can I ask a question? Was that he was talking about you annexing the whole farm?
The whole farm into the LID and making it, so.
And do you think that's why they didn't go for preserving that easement through there? Is because that?
Well, if you would go back to the previous record, you'll find that there was originally 15 acres of blocked easement across there, and then due to some negotiations with the city and Ada County, when we got the land annexed for the LDS church that was going to go on the corner, we gave up part of that City of Cuna annex ground. We haven't given that all up yet. And I had sent, at that point, the letter went to Dowdy when he was still attorney with I proposed like four or five questions, same ones that we have addressed. I mean, how do I farm over this? How does it impact, I mean, my future generations? How do we make this happen and not throw kinks in the wire? I mean, as you know, it's got a center pivot that goes across, and all of a sudden, if we've got to do a pipeline in the middle of an irrigation season, how do we accommodate the crop loss that isn't just the pipeline, it's a whole field? Sure. And so a lot of this unanswered questions. And Neil alluded to that. It's like the treatment plant. I could provide all kinds of testimony how this was going to be a brick-and-mortar building, reverse scrubbers, never going to have any odor problems. And, I mean, it was a hard sell. And then halfway through that, Justin Walker with Keller & Associates, he calls me and says, the explosion, to make this building explosion-proof for everything we have, and I mean, we're in the 07, 08 downturn, it's just not feasible to make this happen. How would you feel about if we made this completely covered, but they would be fiberglass panels that would blow off in the event of an explosion or something along that line? And I mean, ag was feeling, everybody was feeling, I mean, this was bad in that time frame. And I said, we can make that happen. And 08, before the plant was open, being commissioned, I called Justin, said, well, there's no fiberglass panels on this. There's all this lighting. I mean, we had a lot of discussion about the lighting. He said, well, the plan's changed, and so now all the trains will be open trains. And I'm saying, how do plans change? And, I mean, I'm not even consulted, talked to. I mean, I did about the fiberglass panels, but then I mean, it's just, I think you get it. I mean, in stocks and bonds, past performance is not indicative of future results. But Neil relayed several instances that we feel like we've been extremely mistreated. I mean, go back to the house. I know you offered to buy the house, but with Mayor Obrey, that was part of the original conversation, as if there was any adverse effects from the treatment plant, they would buy it at the market value. And my brother and his wife were going through a divorce, and that's why all of this kind of came to be. And I had this and brought it to city council and mayor, and they said, well, there's nothing in writing. I mean, that's one thing that I've learned. If it's not in writing with the city, it's pretty hard to have any leverage. But I mean, when we talk about the 12 inches of topsoil, we talk about the road, it's in writing. And the city just blew us off on these issues. And when construction was happening, my sister-in-law was living in the house, and paintings were falling off the wall. And they said, well, the seismographs say there's no problem. 10 years ago, when we replaced the carpet in the house in the basement, I mean, there's a great big crack along the basement. Talked to Gordon, he said, well, nothing that we can do about it. We don't know what it was caused from. And so when you had that much blasting going through there, when Obrey came to me and said, I want to be part of the city. I want to be helpful. CUNA is my hometown. That's what we fought a lot of fires together. Yeah. And so we have a lot of appreciation for this community. But when I feel like I've never been treated fair, it's tough for me to. And then when the appraiser comes up with, oh, it's $30,000 an acre and no negotiation, and I mean, it just, in my mind, pretty underhanded. So thank you for listening to us. And I'm willing to sit down and negotiate, but let's negotiate. Let's not say, I mean, it's like the house rental. I figure I'm out of pocket $300,000, I mean, over 15-year time frame of being able to get. I mean, the city never went to Ada County to back me up on appraisals. I mean, I'd have to fight the appraisal value on that house, and it was all, I mean, and I got Ada County to come down and say, yep, it's by a treatment plant, the odors are bad, and we understand that, but I'm not entitled to any homeowner's exemption there because it's in a trust, and members of the trust have their own home. So that number did not include the extra taxes that I had to pay since I wasn't a homeowner's resident. So, but any questions?
I guess, you know, a lot of that history of the stuff going way back, I guess I didn't know anything about that. I knew that that whole LID thing turned into a big mess, which is one of the reasons I ran for council, was when the city was telling the farmers that they weren't able to sell their property because of the downturn in the economy, and that wasn't the city's problem. I felt that it was the city's problem because we're talking about a wastewater treatment plant that the city wouldn't rely on.
Well, and I know the associations that you had there, and I appreciated. I mean, that's why you stepped up there and said, "Yes, we have a problem." So,
yeah. So, I wish things hadn't turned out like that. I would like to sit down and negotiate and get it figured out. Do you think we can come to something? I'd really like to, and I think we can. I know that you're tired of the city telling you one thing and doing another. So,
well, and that's part of the factor of the unknowns. What are the unknowns that can't get documented in paper that we're going to have to come up with, and in the past, it's pound sand. There's nothing we can do about it. I mean, and so it's just, I'm just trying to come up with solutions I mean, because I know the trunk line was discussed. I mean, but when I went to Dowdy at that point, that he is mayor and or his attorney, and I mean, I never got any reply back, and I mean, there wasn't any. I mean, it was so far out in the future. I mean, I personally never thought that we would be to this point in my lifetime, but. So.
Well, when I came out and met with you that time, and then when your brother came in, I thought he was, I mean, it felt like he hated me, and we grew up together, and I, you know, that bothered me a lot, but I didn't know what prompted that, and so not negotiating is, I mean, how do you talk to somebody that feels that way, but you've been always good about wanting to talk about things. So I'd like to get it negotiated out. I think even if we went with eminent domain, it's going to take a while to get that through a process. So we can probably resolve this quicker and a lot easier and a lot less expense if we can just negotiate it out. And that's why I wanted to give you guys a chance to talk here tonight, because I didn't want to just do a swooping action and then say we'll figure it out later.
Well, and it was always easier if the attorney handled it, but obviously the negotiator didn't seem like he had any room to negotiate. And I'm not sure if that's part of his retainer or how he turns things out, but it was just, I mean, there was no discussion and nothing going forward, and then as the whole concept of the trunk line changes, why did it change? I mean, the only thing that I learned from the attorney is, oh, it's a straight shot across there, and I'm saying we still have all these steel pins where the original design was to be. I mean, and Neil and I talked about the, the appraiser. I mean, we had the issues with the, I mean, Paul's still been pretty, he'll still recognize that I'm in the room. And so when Neil dropped all the stakes off for him, and when the surveyor called me, and I'm saying, I'm not going to allow you to survey it till after the crop's off, and then all of a sudden we see the flags out there, and then the appraiser leaves me a message. I leave him a message, and unbeknownst to me, we have an appraisal done. So.
Well, I think you and I both grew up in a time where letters back and forth aren't really a proper negotiation. So, if you're willing, let's just sit down at the table and we'll get it figured out.
Mr. Mayor, I have a question, if I may.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have you and your family actually discussed what it would take to let that part of the land go? Have you guys all sat down and really had that discussion?
Well, like I've said, I mean, I'm trying to plan for 3 or 4 generations down the road. There's no plans for development, but if at some point after my passing, I mean, grandkids may come and spit on my grave and say, what did you do to us? But how do we know what the future holds? I mean, at this point, nobody's been willing to discuss, because nobody has felt like the city wanted
to really move.
I mean, to account for, I mean, it's not your sins, but I mean, predecessors, and trying to say, here's the few things that we have documented. And, I mean, I can show them to you, and you can review them, and saying, well, why wasn't something resolved because of this? And, I mean, I've been appreciative of, I mean, as much as I like my pivot going around in a full circle, I mean, I've made plans, and when that happens, that, I mean, because the original discussion, I mean, it didn't get put in there, but was until phase 2, the second set of trains was going to be constructed, would be able to do that. But, I mean, you concede and saying, okay. But when you're in a downturn, you're saying, okay, that's going to be a lifetime. But I appreciate that the city definitely has been willing to work with me on that part, but
because I mean, and I was just asking because the position it puts us in is right. I think government, the whole the greater good is part of the problem, right? But when we look at some of the other designs to go around it, the cost that it would fall under the taxpayer, as opposed to moving this forward. I want to know if you guys really do have a plan to move forward, because it's been years now that how long have we been going back and forth with this? Talked about a couple of years. I just want to make sure that
we've been looking at it for a long time, but I never.
But I appreciate everything.
I don't know that Paul's probably mentioned it, but I mean, I haven't ever looked at it. And I mean, he had to have an appraisal, and I look at it. To me, no amount of money is going to say at this point in my juncture in working with the city,
right?
I mean, is going to redeem all the past errors, sins, however you want to put it. But I'd like the city to take into account, okay, where is the value to the city? I mean, to me, and my brother Bruce is good at this. I mean, he's done calculations of whatever it is, four or five lift stations, and we see, Tim Eck put the pressurized main around there. I don't know. I mean, I heard a million and a half, but I don't know what that ended up being. And so saying, and I'm a farmer. I get the idea of gravity flow, and getting rid of pumps. It's all about maintenance and looking for 100 years down the road for the city of going forward. And so
I would rather make sure that you guys are comfortable with the decision and moving forward rather than anything else. So, thank you for everything you guys have done for CUNA.
Well, we still like CUNA. So,
me too.
So, definitely, I can have, as the mayor can attest, I can get Bruce on the same page. I don't know if I get him in the same room, but definitely we'll have some family discussion and see what he has, and I can get with Greg or mayor or somebody and say, let's do something. We have some ideas, but to me, the big thing would be it would have to follow the creek around. If that's a no deal, trying to give it as far out of the agriculture area as we can. That was the original intent. I understand there's more corners, and I was a little taken back when the attorney represented to me said, appraiser or the negotiator said, you guys don't farm for 4 months out of the year. We can get that done. And I'm saying, right now, as soon as sugar beets are off, I've got another month of, working the ground, planting the soil, and farmer's work's never done. Right. There, when it becomes snow covered and froze, we're not working the field.
But. Well, I figure you're going to lose a year's crop. That's the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Even if we can get it done in 4 months, that still interrupts your farming season.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter when we do it.
Yeah,
I think.
And the good thing is sugar beets are this year. So, the make whole with sugar beets now cost us, $1,200 an acre for every acre that we don't deliver to the factory. So, sometimes you feel like you're negotiating with terrorists, but it definitely is a good crop. So,
thank you.
Okay. Any other questions?
So, can we have? When can you get together? Can we just communicate back and forth, you and I, and then?
I think we have each other's number.
Okay.
If not, Greg knows where I'm at.
I know where it is.
You've seen him before?
Thank you for taking the time to come down.
All right. This isn't half of everything that I've retained over the years, but it's, if I had to do it all over again, I would not have said, Let's do this. There's other people that you can.
I agree.
It's just been a very unpleasant experience.
Thank you.
And I'm not going for pain and suffering yet, so let's just.
All right, very good. Yes.
Mayor, did you want to table this for a future date certain to give time for conversation? Did you want to vote on this matter tonight? What would be council's preference?
Well, I know we need to get things done, but I guess it's more important to me to keep the relationship with the grants than it is to hurry up and get a sewer line in. So I'd much rather do that. Let's see what we can do with negotiating. Do we have to table it for a date certain?
You can just table the matter without a date, and then at a future council meeting, then we would ask council to instruct us to bring it back, or maybe it doesn't.
Yes,
Mark Vibey, city attorney. I would recommend, if it's going to be tabled, that it be to a date certain. The reason being is just, I know the Durant, there's a lot of history here that I can't speak to. I think they're talking about history that might be older than me on some accounts. I'm not going to attempt to speak to that. But as far as what's been with this eminent domain process, the offer was extended to Al Barker in March. And it sounds like there's a desire to give a counteroffer, but it's kind of felt that way from what Larry Rinkover is conveying to me for 6 months now. And so I would like to have the date on there so that something actually happens and it doesn't just go stagnant, unless the city's determination is that they're okay with this going stagnant. But if this is going to move to an end, I would recommend keeping a date so that there is a reason to keep moving. Otherwise, it could go cold.
Want to do 30 days?
What's that?
30 days?
Sure.
So would that be... that'd be either October 3rd. The meeting after that would be October 17th. And today is September 5th. So one of those two dates.
October 17th?
I prefer, because I won't be here for the 3rd.
So your preference would be October 17th, Councilmember Laraway?
That'd be my suggestion. I know the world doesn't rotate around me, but I'm just...
Really? I didn't know that. Is that okay with the Durants?
Oh, Richard doesn't have much going on. I'm sure he can do it.
Well,
that would be just the next time we discuss it.
Hopefully we won't have to
right. Yeah.
Deal with it. So. Good.
Mayor, if I might, I think it's important just because for the last several months it's been communicate to Al Barker. And before correspondence start going directly from you to the Durants, they're here without him today, so I think that means contact you directly, but I want that clarified because I don't want to run into an issue that we're represented. You should have been going to our attorney, not to us directly.
So since there has been communications, do they need to get permission from their attorney and I need from ours, or how does that work?
Well, they're their attorney's boss, technically, so if they want to communicate with you directly, they can express that. I just don't want to be guilty of not communicating through council if that's what we're supposed to be doing.
I got you.
So.
Communicate directly with us. I didn't fire Al, but.
Could you?
He asked if he needs to be here, and I said, if whatever, how much an hour that's costing me, I will be here.
Mr. Durant, would you come to the mic and say that on the record so that it can be in the minutes?
All right, was that a motion?
No, I was asking to clarify so I could make it.
17th?
The 17th?
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Just state your name and say you'll handle your attorney. That's
Richard Durant, 7590 South 10 Mile. The city can communicate directly with me.
Thank you, sir.
Is that good enough?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Richard.
Thank you, Richard.
May council get a copy of this letter that's in question that Neil Durant brought up? I'm not sure if it...
Yeah, I didn't get it. Did you?
I looked in my email. I didn't see it.
It was a communication to our legislators referencing
a bill.
A bill.
That's correct. The letter went out in this year of March, and it went to Representative Durant. It also went to JFAC. Hold on, I have copies of the letters. It went to Representative Durant, went to JFAC members, went to Lakey, went to Lambert. And the date of the letter is March 13th, and those letters were sent to them. And the letter was requested by AIC, and the letter signature is Mayor Steer. And I have copies of those letters.
You want me to email that to you, or what do you want?
I'm just curious to the correlation with the whole project, I guess, was what it was about. That's
the letter.
You just wanted to see what he was talking about.
Yeah. So you just wanted to
forward, well, if it's getting
you can just forward the email.
Well, yeah, if it's getting the AG's attention, I just figured.
I can send you a copy of the letters. I mean, they all say the same thing. It's a form letter that went out to all of them.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Okay.
I would move we table resolution R47-2023 to a date certain of October 17th, 2023.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries. That takes us to item C1, consideration to approve case number 2303LLA, lot line adjustment. Doug Hanson.
Good evening, Mayor and Council members. For the record, Doug Hanson, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, 751 West 4th Street, CUNA. The city requests lot line adjustment approval to remove the lot lines that currently bisect City Hall, reducing the number of parcels from 4 to 1. The scope of work for services for completion of the record of survey pending your approval here tonight has been included with this application as Exhibit 2.6. There are no right-of-way improvements or changes proposed to the overall site layout proposed with this application. Thank you, and I will answer any questions you may have.
It was interesting when I looked at that. It's like what the houses used to be in town. There was a house with a deep lot, and that's exactly the way it's still split. So I thought it was interesting it was still that way. But anyway, just to clean up. Item. Mm-hmm. No one has any objection.
Nothing. Okay. I would move we approve case number 23-03-LLA.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Consideration to approve resolution R70-2023. Doug Hanson.
For the record, Doug Hanson, CUNA Planning and Zoning Staff, this resolution goes hand in hand with the prior lot line adjustment approval. This is just the professional services agreement that lets us to do that record of survey with Keller and Associates.
Pretty straightforward. I would move we approve resolution R70-2023.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded for approval. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 7A, consideration to approve ordinance 2023-16A, a municipal annexation and zoning ordinance of the City Council of the City of CUNA, making certain findings and declaration of authority and annexing certain real properties to wit Ada County Assessor's parcel numbers R061-525-0410, and R061-525-0402, owned by Arthur Sidney and Laura Anderson within the unincorporated area of Ada County, Idaho, and contiguous to the corporate limits of the City of CUNA, into the City of CUNA, and establishing the zoning classifications of said real properties and directing the city engineer and city clerk and providing an effective date.
Mayor, I move we waive three readings of ordinance 2023-16A.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to waive the three readings. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? And that motion carries.
I would move we approve ordinance 2023-16A.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve ordinance 2023-16A. Any further discussion? Chris, would you poll the council?
Councilmember Bruce?
Aye.
Councilmember Biggs?
Aye.
Councilmember Laraway?
Aye.
Council President McPherson?
Aye.
And that motion carries. That is all we had on the agenda tonight. I wanted to mention that Ada County Commissioners have requested to have a town hall here in Chambers October 4th. We are going to have discussions. They wanted to talk about bringing a DMV to CUNA. So that's one of the things we're talking about. We've been kind of in negotiations on that, so we'll see where we go with that. I also suggested that possibly they discuss the upcoming possibility for a bond for a jail expansion to get that out so people know what that's about. And what was the other thing, I think?
I just wanted you to update on Kane Avalon and Orchard.
Oh, yeah. So anyway, I think we sent out an invitation for that already to you, the council. So, but it will be a town hall. It'll be here open to the public. So try and make that if you can. Today I went and got a congressional update from Representative Mike Simpson. If you're looking for anything positive and uplifting from the federal government on the things, he is not the man to talk to. In fact, at one point he said something to the fact, we have one job to do at Congress, and that is to appropriate funding for the budget by the end of September. For some reason, we can never do our job. So it doesn't look like this year is going to be any different than previous years as far as getting the budget through. And, then he was talking about blowing up dams and saving salmon. So I'll let him talk about that when he wants to. But didn't give a lot of good fuzzy feelings about Congress and the way things are going right now. So
sounds about right with the federal government, huh?
Yeah.
I don't have a lot of fuzzy feelings about Congress.
Anyway, then it got Republican and Democrat, and I won't even go there. So, but it was nice to hear him talk. He spoke for a while. It was good. So I appreciated that. I haven't got to hear from him for quite some time. So anyway, that's all I had. Did anybody have anything else they wanted to?
Yeah, I have personally delivered just shy of an acre worth of grass to Bobby and his crew and his extended stolen crew from other departments. And
yes.
They've done a fabulous job over there with the parks. If you haven't seen it, don't go in there. It's dusty, and you're getting their way, and you'll get ran over because they're moving and hustling. But it's coming along good. It's looking great. Sprinklers
are
running.
Yeah, those pictures were great.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
Looks even better now. You should, I mean, really get with Bobby and go check it out. It's pretty cool.
Thank you. You guys have been working your butts off.
Yeah,
thank
they have.
You
they've
for
been
bringing that up.
They've been humping over there. So
that's one of those things where, you know, we it costs too much money to get stuff done. We're not going to go after bonds on things, and so our staff is stepping up and making things happen and saving millions of dollars in the process. So,
that's great.
But they've really shown the teamwork. We got guys from the water department over there and parks, and Mike's been down there doing the survey and the levels and all that stuff. And even some of the parks ladies have CDLs, and they're driving water trucks around out there. So
All the staff will have a...
It's pretty impressive. There's a lot of people out there working on that, and it's just great to see the teamwork from the city, so...
They'll have a bachelor's in grading, right?
That's right. That's right.
Mr. Mayor, Cuna Homecoming is on the 15th, Cuna High. Homecoming is the 15th for the football game. The 16th is their big event, dance and whatnot. So they're playing Nampa.
Yeah. And JV's at home Thursday.
This week.
Yep, yeah. This week.
They're one home game.
Yep, one home game. Yeah.
All right.
Thank you
Anything
all.
Anything further? All right, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you very much.